In a fallen and sin-filled world, hurting people hurt people. Why is that? Well, when you're hurting on the inside, it manifests itself by causing you to be perhaps dysfunctional or not operating normally, and as a result, you wind up hurting other people. Take a look with me at Proverbs 18:14. And the word of Proverbs says, "The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit?" The word broken spirit can be translated as a wounded spirit or a traumatized spirit. So a broken spirit is one in which a person has been wounded and the wound has not healed. Now, your natural body has a natural defense system to guard you from attack from harmful bacteria and microorganisms. It's called your skin. Your skin has amazing properties to keep harmful germs out. However, if your skin is broken through injury or trauma, then your defenses will have been compromised. That's why we clean wounds. We use antibiotics and cover the wound until it heals. We want to protect it from attack by harmful germs. Well, the same concept can be applied in the spiritual realm. Remember what we said in the past. To disobey God is to obey the devil. There's no gray or middle ground. You're either in or you're out. When you obey the devil, you become his slave to do even more evil. As human beings, we have an amazing ability or capacity to rationalize, to make excuses, to put the blame on others for the choices we make. We'll even blame the devil. But the devil can't make you do anything. The devil will try to persuade you to do something that will ultimately harm you in the end. And he will use the wounds or traumas you experience in life as an opportunity to control you and take away your ability to make sound choices in the future. Now, in my experience as a pastor, I've done some pastoral counseling, and I frankly have counseled many people. And what I found is that getting to the root of a problem can be difficult. The deepest roots of trauma are often produced when we're young. The most common are caused by sexual abuse, emotional abuse, and even physical abuse. These types of trauma are difficult because they lie so deep in our souls. Our minds don't want to bring them to the surface because the memories are so painful. Now, the devil doesn't want you to know what the source of your emotional pain or trauma is. And it's therefore difficult to see the root of the pain in yourself. That's the nature of the devil. When you're being deceived, you don't know it. But it's much easier for those who are around you to recognize that there's something wrong. Now, you may experience the symptoms of fear, guilt, shame, remorse, humiliation, or embarrassment, and not know why. And therefore, others will see you as not normal or as dysfunctional. You see, spiritual trauma or injuries are very much like physical injuries. If you have a severe injury, you don't want to have poking around the wound. The area becomes very sensitive, and you will naturally try to protect the wound site. Well, the same is true for an emotional wound or a trauma. We don't want to mess with it, and we don't want others to mess with it either. See, that's the trap that Satan wants us to fall into. Leave it alone, and the pain will go away. But it never does. And so the devil is like an infection. If you ignore him, it will only get worse. The more pain, the less likely you want to deal with it. Some people end up trying to hide the wound, act like there is no problem. Now, you may be able to fool some people, but you really can't fool yourself. You know something is wrong. While the single most common symptom is fear, fear can come in many forms. Now, I'm not a mental health expert, but here are some examples of anxiety, excessive worry. That's one fear. Fear can produce sleep problems. Fear can be irrational. In other words, you know it doesn't make sense, but yet you can't control it. Fear can cause muscle tension, aches and pains. Fear can cause chronic indigestion. And of course, fear can produce stage fright, the fear of speaking in front of other people. Fear can produce an obsessive self-consciousness where you think everyone is looking at you and judging you. Fear can produce panic attacks. And I've seen people with panic attacks. It's very real to them. Fear can produce flashbacks and memories of the past, and it brings that pain back to the surface. But some other aspects of fear is perfectionism. Perfection is an attempt to cover the fear, or compulsive behavior, like washing your hands all of the time. And of course, fear produces self-doubt. Now, the definition of fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and it is likely to cause pain or is a threat. Now, that pretty much says it all. I hope you caught it. It's an emotion. It can be either a reasonable fear or an unreasonable fear. Now, a reasonable fear is based on some present danger. For instance, you encounter a poisonous snake. I mean, any reasonable person would try to avoid the snake. But an unreasonable fear is based upon some imagined danger or a past experience. Remembering something that happened in the past and being so terrified that it might happen again. Now, here is an acronym for the word fear. In other words, the first letter of this statement spells out the word fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. There's the key. Fear is false. Now, here's what the Bible says. In 1 John 4:18, John says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who has fear has not been made perfect in love." You see, unconditional love, agape love, the decision and the commitment to love God will cast out fear. Unconditional love for God is fearless. Love for God is to hate the devil. Love for God is deciding to choose a side. As I said before, you can't straddle the fence between God and Satan. You're either in or you're out. You choose love or you choose fear. Choosing love will cast out fear and the torment that comes with that fear. You see, you have to trust Dr. Jesus to destroy the source of the infection. In 1 John 3:8b, the scriptures say, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's why Jesus came. See, fear produces dysfunction. And the devil will use fear, especially the fear of repeating the pain you might have experienced in the past. And this produces all kinds of dysfunctional behavior. These behaviors will keep you in bondage. He'll try to discourage you with fear. He'll try to create doubt with fear. He will lead you into depression with fear. He will use guilt and shame to coerce you because of fear. But perfect love casts out fear produced by trauma or a wound. Again, 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." There's no torment in love. And then 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, remember what I said earlier. The devil can't make you do anything, but he can try to persuade you to do something that you really shouldn't do. It's going to hurt you in the end. However, as a final note today, remember this important fact. Greater is the Holy Spirit in you than all the demonic forces in hell. That's 1 John 4:4. Jesus came to set you free. You are free to love God and to love others unconditionally. Now join me next time to examine more closely a broken spirit and, most importantly, how agape love will triumph. Thanks for listening to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. If you like our show and want to know more, please check out our website at PastorVicsNuggets.com or simply PastorVic.com. And please feel free to leave a comment, share, or like, or follow our blog. God bless you. Remember, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus loves you. I love you. We'll see you the next time.